Voyage of Vinces. For the next to last event of 2014, Formula One Lambadas from North to South America, to its largest city there, Sao Paulo, for the Grand Prix of Brazil. Brazilians are known for their rich culture, exuberant nature, and for their patron santo of F1, Ayrton Senna. Interlagos, or Autódromo José Carlos Pache, is a slightly shabby circuit surrounded on the hills by the projects called favelas. It's known for its many inclines and formerly bumpy surface, which is newly repaved. As we are in the southern hemisphere, it is fitting that the circuit runs anti-clockwise, so the centrifugal forces in the many hard left turns will be pushing the drivers next to the right instead of left. Let's think of this track like the Brazilian dance, the samba. The first set of turns, the Senna S's, move the drivers left, right, left, much like the quick, quick, slow beat of the samba. Then there's turn three, the Curva do Sol, a round, large radius curve, much like the hip roll of the Volta. From the Ferradura, turn six, to turn 12, drivers must negotiate tight turns and inclination changes, such as the staccato rhythm of the Botafogo step. Turn 13 is an uphill left kink, which starts the high-speed section. Drivers need to move through this fast, like the drums of Carnival. For the 11th time this season, it's an all-silver arrow front row. And happily, little homeboy Massa leads an all-Williams second row. Who will cross the finish line first and put the boss in the bossa nova? And who will be saying, "E mesmo?" Make me a bowl of feijoada and stay tuned, Novinches. This is Desarinha, your carnival queen of F1. And this is your F1 Weekly Brazilian Grand Prix Racecast. A te breve.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 668, November 18th, 2014. Nasser?
Greetings and racing regards. The samba is over and the sands of time will be sweeping over Abu Dhabi on Sunday.
On today's program, McLaren refuses to announce driver lineup until December 1st. Caterham raises enough dough to attend the final Grand Prix of the 2014 season. And don't forget to get your 2015 Formula One calendar from the F1Weekly.com merchandise page. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King. And we've got 50 words from the F1 Weekly forum on the Brazilian Grand Prix. Nasser, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. And you mentioned the 2015 Samba and Tango calendar. My thanks to all the F1 Weekly Familia members who have placed orders, and their calendars are flying or on a FedEx ground truck already.
That's fantastic. This is going to pay for the brand new kitchen upgrade in the Palatial Studios. We'll be able to get rid of that cold-fired oven and get some electric stoves installed.
Wow.
That's right, Nasser. We're going modern.
I can see an Electrolux sponsorship in the future.
Electrolux is one of my favorite vacuum cleaners of all time. Keep up the good work, Nasser. Now, did you get your Brazilian thong on before the podcast?
Oh, absolutely, sir. I really, really enjoyed this race. It's a track I've been to, courtesy of our friend in Sao Paulo, Senor Leo. It's, you know, it's a great racing tradition down in Brazil, great champions from that town and that country. So I really, really enjoyed that race. You know, if you ever find out how much a racing ticket cost to go to the Brazilian Grand Prix, you may faint.
I believe that, but it doesn't matter. As long as you're wearing a T-shirt of Rubinho, you get 50% off.
There you go.
Great Grand Prix. I mean, we know the script has been written. We're going to Abu Dhabi. But nevertheless, it's been a great season. This is a great Grand Prix. What I don't understand is how global warming now is affecting the Grand Prix. Now, I checked every day, and rain was supposed to fall on qualifying. Rain was supposed to fall on the Grand Prix, and we got nothing.
Yes, and Nico got the win. What really surprised me, I remember going to the Weather Channel, the Formula One website. It's like thunder clouds and massive rain shower right at the time of the race. And then next thing you know, it's like racing in Saudi Arabia.
Yes, I think the military's involved. I think Bernie Ecclestone's involved. It's puzzling, but there you have it. All to make sure that it goes down to the wire so Lewis Hamilton can take it home.
You think so?
I'm convinced. Trust me, this is just as scripted as the lunar landing in 1969.
Oh my God, now you're really pushing all sorts of buttons.
Yes, 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 that's how I believe. But anyway, it was a great weekend, fantastic crowd. Of course, Felipe Massa, pretty much the star. It reminded me of Takuma Sato in a Jordan coming in fourth in the Japanese Grand Prix. And I thought he won. You see what I'm saying? It was exciting for Felipe.
Or it was like Thiago Monteiro in
2005, USA.
Yeah.
I know what's going on around here, Nasser. So, no, very good stuff. Fun weekend. But we could talk about qualifying. Very exciting. It's always neck and neck between Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton. Of course, now we're at the end of the season. People like Adrian Sutil are trying to make a point. Jean-Éric Vergne trying to make a point. Pastor Maldonado, he doesn't need to make a point. So, very interesting. I also was impressed with Jenson Button. I mean, obviously, with all the talk about him and Fernando, about he's not scared of Fernando's shadow. It was great. He out-qualifies Fernando, finishes a race ahead of Fernando. It was exciting. I enjoyed that. It was fun. I liked it. I also liked the battle between Fernando and Kimi Raikkonen during the Grand Prix. Just good stuff.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I was hoping that if there was rain was going to come, maybe we can see a very popular win by Felipe Massa or even Valtteri Bottas.
Well, we were hoping that, of course, but that's not exciting. You know, for me, it's Fernando up at the front, in the front of the spear, at the point.
Well, he'll be riding a Honda scooter and a Honda racing engine behind his.
You know what they say about Hondas?
You meet the nicest people on Honda.
Exactly, Nasser. Those other people are driving around on Harley Davidsons, like Romain Grosjean came out the other day. He drives a Harley Davidson while he's in Switzerland.
Oh, I'm sure that's how he goes to his bank job in Geneva.
To make the payments?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But no, great qualifying, of course. Both Lotus F1s are out in Q1. And let's not forget, we don't have any Caterham or we don't have any Marussia, which is sad.
And let's not forget his HRT.
Sergio Perez, he's having a bad day. There you have it. He was out. And Jean-Éric Vergne was out in Q1 as well. And that's what's interesting about having these 18 cars left on the grid with those two teams gone, is now you're seeing guys that don't expect to be out in Q1, out in Q1. And I like it. Gets the real stuff out front so we know what's going on.
You know, I enjoyed a Grand Prix with six cars, so 18 is a huge number.
Yeah, for me, hey, you know, I'll have, if it's one car and we know who, I'll be fine.
Yeah, but it cannot be with the sound of the engines they have these days. Let me tell you that.
No, that's going to change.
Hopefully.
It will. It has to, because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when GP2 is only 6 seconds off Formula One and sound better, there's some kind of failure to communicate.
Yes, sir.
So, there you have it. In Q2, Esteban Gutierrez, he was doing pretty good this weekend. He realizes he needs to get into another team or he's got nothing. And, of course, Adrian Sutil, he's probably going to sue his way out of Formula One. And Daniel Kvyat doesn't make it into the top 10. Very unusual, especially since Jean-Éric Vergne was out in Q1. I thought Kvyat would get into Q3, but he didn't. And an interesting top 10. Like I mentioned, Jenson Button in P5. Of course, we knew the Williams would be 3 and 4. We knew the Mercedes would be on the front row. The question is, where would Fernando be?
Fernando is the talk of every podcast, huh?
Well, Fernando is going to be the talk of everything right now because everybody's lives depend on him. Let's face it, as soon as that announcement comes, everybody shuffles.
Well, you know, I'm a big Honda fan, so I'm going to be a big Nando fan in 2015.
I know. I've already got your outfit.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's exciting. There's a lot of talk about what the livery will be at the McLaren. And, of course, we saw the McLaren last weekend with the Honda Package hit Silverstone for 100 clicks of filming responsibilities. Did you read up on that? Did you get Did you get an inside scoop?
No, but it's nice to see Honda back in Formula One. I hope BMW also comes back, so it'll be good for the sport. And I think they are putting the head of Honda said that they are confident they will have a very competitive package, and they expect to win races. And, not easy though.
Yeah, I thought they shouldn't have said that because I remember somebody that said that, and it was BAR Jacques Villeneuve, and they were all excited, and nothing happened.
Yeah, that was Mr. Adrian Reynard and Craig Pollock.
Yes, my favorite friend.
Yeah, they were going to win their first Formula One race.
Remember that?
Just because Reynard had won a first ever Formula Ford race, Formula 3 race, IndyCar race, they were going to do that in Formula One too.
I know, I know. So yes, just hold your horses there, Honda. But I have a feeling that Rubinho is going to be calling Honda. He's going to want to be the test driver.
I don't know what the deal with him. You know, he was there for so many years, and he's still... I just don't get it.
He's a hungry man, so it is what it is.
Yeah, you should get into frozen food business down in Brazil if he's a hungry man.
I don't know. Maybe his wife's not doing, you know, the...
Well, that shouldn't be too hard in Brazil. You know, the interesting thing about Rubinho, I was reading an interview with him recently, and he said that, you know, his junior career was very, very impressive. There came a time in his early in his career that it was going to be end of the road because there was family could not pay for it. So he contacted some company and the guy owned some business. They agreed that as long as the deal was, as long as Rubinho is a Formula One, I mean, professional racing driver, he will pay 20% of his earnings to this guy. And to this day, he's paying him 20%.
I wish F1 Weekly could get in the scoop like that. Wouldn't that be fun? Nevertheless, an interesting qualifying. Once again, they kept saying the rain was coming. No rain in sight, and everybody was there. Nelson Piquet, Fittipaldi. I mean, there was no shortage of Brazilians.
Yeah, it's the Brazilian Grand Prix, not the Argentine Grand Prix, Clark.
Yes, I'm close. What's the difference, huh? So what do you think of the race?
Fantastic. I love all motor racing. I'm looking forward to the second round of Formula E.
Oh, me too. The problem is it already happened. It was so quiet. Nobody could find it.
Wow, did Nicola Prost win this time?
Probably. It was electrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. We're going to be doing that all winter.
Yes, and you know, the race, I mean, like we talked about, rain on Saturday and Sunday, but the only rain we saw was in the performance of Nico Rosberg. Total control from Friday practice to Sunday race. This was his first win, since the German Grand Prix, if I'm not mistaken.
You're absolutely right. And not only that, but this pole position gives him the pole award. Then last weekend, he got the Bambi. So in other words, they're trying to give him as much as he can get right now, because obviously in Abu Dhabi, it's been written that Hamilton will win.
Why would you say Hamilton will win? What makes
because it's done. Trust me. The double points are for everybody. It's not going to make a difference. Hamilton comes in second. Oh, I'm not saying that Nico might not win the Grand Prix, but I'm sure Hamilton is going to take this. What really makes me laugh is Toto Wolff is shaking in his boots because if Hamilton does have a Mercedes breakdown, I'm talking a Cablamo, something that's related to the moteur, that's going to make Mercedes look so terrible.
Well, that's what the people will be saying, that a German team wanted a German driver to win, and I can't wait for that to happen.
Yes. I mean, could it happen? Nigel Stepney's not here anymore, Nasser.
Yes, he has departed us.
Yes, so I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I still think Hamilton has this in the bag. I think all the gremlins have been whooshed out of the car. I mean, trust me, these guys are going over these cars with a fine-tooth comb because they cannot have any kind of issue with the car to deny Lewis Hamilton this world championship.
There are only two factors that can deny him. One is Lewis Hamilton himself, which he almost did to himself in Brazil. And the other is, which I'm really afraid of, maybe Massa or Bottas will have a, you know, will be the Petrov to Hamilton.
Yep, Fernando's Petrov can be scary sometimes, and you're right. And you're right, Lewis Hamilton can make a mistake, just like he did in the middle of the race, going wide, spinning in that runoff. And if that runoff was gravel, Nasser, things would be very different.
Yes, and you know, they say extra length for extra satisfaction. That did not work out for Lewis. He was lucky in his spin in turn four only cost him about 6 seconds or something a little bit more than that. And Sao Paulo 2014 could so easily have been the repeat of Shanghai 2007. Talk about kitty litter.
Yes, exactly. This is going to be an interesting Grand Prix, but quickly, let's get back to Brazil, because I know we're anticipating Abu Dhabi. We're excited about Abu Dhabi. And what I'm really loving about Abu Dhabi, it's on European clock, European time, so I'm back to normal. But this was a great start for Nico Rosberg on this Grand Prix. He took control. I thought it was outstanding. I thought Jenson Button had a really good start. He was in control today. And of course, Felipe Massa, the star of Brazil, he had to finish on the podium, and the curses that he went through in this Grand Prix and still finish on the podium was amazing.
Yes, it was very impressive performance for him. And it was very nice to see a pretty decent, clean getaway. And, you know, the way this track goes down right and left, it's just a pure natural racing track, you know. So it's great to see motor racing on a circuit like this.
Absolutely. There were some shenanigans going on in the Grand Prix. I thought it was fun stuff. Really, it was all about Nico Rosberg managing his tires and not let Hamilton catch up. The spin helped, but Hamilton started catching up again after the spin. Really felt Terry Bottas not having a great weekend, nowhere near the top five. He just struggled. Nico Hülkenberg doing an outstanding job, and I thought the fight between Fernando and Kimi was wunderbar.
Yeah, the fight was tremendous. Really enjoyed it. And I got to tell you something, when Lewis Hamilton, after he spun out and started catching up, I was very convinced that we will see a repeat of Kota.
And that's what we expect. He seems to be able to get those extra seconds or tenths per lap to catch up and put the pressure on Nico, hoping that Nico will make the mistake. But still, that didn't happen. Nico did an outstanding job. And maybe Nico's handling the final Grand Prix's pressure better, but I don't think that's a question anymore. I think both of these guys look really, really relaxed and casual.
Yes. And so, no, Nico is a very cool car, just like Jacques Villeneuve.
Exactly. Almost as good as Jacques Villeneuve. Not quite. Yeah. Almost, though.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I was very impressed with the McLarens. They've really stepped forward. So with the era, and you know, they're obviously testing some of the parts that they're going to be using in 2015, and they're making some good steps forward. And if this Honda motor is as good as Honda says it's going to be, I think Fernando's going to be machismo next year.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, this Kimi and Nando fight, I mean, this is what the essence of motor racing is all about, to see two great champions, two great drivers duking it out without, you know, hitting each other. I mean, I really, really enjoyed that. And to see two Ferraris fight it out, fantastic. But, or as they say in Germany, a la Dings, since Nando is leaving on a jet plane to Woking after Abu Dhabi, there was no radio message to Kimi. Fernando is faster than you.
Because Kimi would have said, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and he was the only driver to complete the race on a two-stop strategy.
Yes, exactly. Very good. And it was a great fight. like you said, what we saw happen in Brazil between Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso is what we were supposed to get all season long.
Very true.
That was a little snippet of what we were supposed to get, but neener, we got none of it.
Well, you know, it might be very good, especially if the car is competitive at Ferrari, to see how Kimi will do against Sebastian Vettel.
The biggest problem is Kimi Raikkonen is still going to be Kimi Raikkonen. Sebastian Vettel, he's the new German on the block, so they got to get all that frozen bratwurst out that they saved for Schumacher. You know, it's got to be thawed and stuff. And it's going to be interesting, but Vettel's going to be hungry. And Vettel is watching these races. He's seen what Fernando has done with Kimi Raikkonen. So Vettel has to do as well as Fernando.
Yes.
So it's going to be fascinating. I can't wait for 2015. That's why I'm ready to wrap this up and just wait. I'm going to go in my cave and sleep.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, Massa stopped in the McLaren pits. I was thinking maybe he was looking for his ex-teammate from Maranello.
My favorite part was Massa didn't really stop. I mean, he went to his box, but he just took the wrong exit. You know, he went through.
Didn't Jenson Button do the same thing a few years ago?
Yes, but Jenson Button stopped and was waiting for the oil check.
Yes.
But no, I thought that was cute. And my favorite part is when the camera panned to Claire Williams' face, with her eyes rolling and going, "Oh my God, Madge. Oh, I've never seen anything like that before.
Oh dear.
Oh my." So it was very cute. I loved every moment of it. And I wanted to jump and ask Susie Wolf a question right after that. Do you see racing in Felipe's eyes?
Oh my goodness. You know what Master's penalty was? Claire Williams did not give him any kidney pudding after the race.
Oh, and I know Felipe. He's in love with this kidney pudding.
But he did get some baked beans, that's for sure.
Well, that was from Jenson Brazier. I mean, Button.
Oh, there you go.
Great Grand Prix. I'm excited. I was happy for Nico Rosberg. He needed this win. And, of course, the crowd erupting for Felipe Massa. Jenson Button in fourth is fantastic. Vettel in fifth. Of course, we forgot to mention that Daniel Ricciardo on lap 39. Kaputne done. I don't even know what was wrong with the car. These days, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, one thing I know, it's never the engine.
You know? No, it's hydraulics.
Yeah. Well, this time it was suspension failure, and this was only his second retirement of the season. I remember some years ago when Schumacher was at Ferrari and they could do nothing wrong. There was a engine kablamo, smoke, and that and all that. And Ferrari blamed it on a piston or a cylinder head from Mahle, you know, the base. Big German
yes.
company.
Yes, one of my Mahle makes pretty much the best pistons in the world, Nasser.
Yeah, they have a big operation right next to the Mercedes Museum in Stuttgart.
That must be exciting.
Yeah, actually, I ended up there trying to get to the museum. It was a little tricky for me, the exit. So they told me, "This is Mahle, this is not Mercedes Museum."
Did you get my Mahle sunglasses?
Oh, I have good news for you. I found your Ferrari sunglasses.
The ones autographed by Fernando?
No, this one is from Marc Genet.
That's fine. I like Marc Genet.
I'm sure you do.
Yes. Terrific test driver. And, you know, it's either him or Luca Badoer. They often work with some of the clienti.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, you know when Luca Badoer did those a couple of races or whatever it was, the media was calling him, "Look how bad you are."
I know. But he was consoled by Fisico.
Bravo, bravo.
Fisico. So, no, very exciting stuff. And, of course, now that we're getting to Abu Dhabi, we're all waiting for that McLaren announcement. We're all waiting for Ferrari to make an announcement. What can you do? Because that's pretty much it. Now, Caterham, I know you're excited about this. They will be in Abu Dhabi. Now, how do you think the mood's going to be? Now, we know they've already made 250 jobs redundant. And when you do stuff like that right before Christmas, which is really not nice, it's a sign that this is their last Grand Prix. It's done for Caterham. I think the ship's already left the dock.
Well, you know, you talk about Christmas and letting people go in like early or mid-November. Many years ago, I used to work at a bank, and they laid off or shut down one of the divisions, I think, a week before Christmas.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
It's all business, man.
It is business, and that's the way it is. Love it or leave it. I thought it was great. Felipe Massa had a drive-through penalty. He had a five-second penalty. Still made it on the podium. That was outstanding. Nico Hülkenberg had a great race, bringing in some good points in eighth place. Kevin Magnussen, this time Jenson Button got him, but still in ninth. And Valtteri Bottas takes up the last point for Williams. It's going to be interesting with the double points. I guess Ferrari is still trying to overhaul, you know, the Constructors' Championship and not end up, I don't know. I think you have some numbers on all this stuff, don't you?
Yes, senor. Just since we are coming to the end of the season, the Brazilian Grand Prix was round 18 of 19, 71 laps of the Interlagos circuit, covered by the race winner, Mr. Nico Rosberg, 1 hour, 30 minutes and 2 seconds.
It's a short track.
I like this kind of – I don't like a 2-hour race. I think 1 hour and 20 minutes like Monza, that's the way to go. LCH did set the fastest lap, 1 minute, 13.55. Otherwise, this would have been a total Nico Rosberg weekend. And as far as points are concerned, Lewis Hamilton leading, 334. Nico, ready for all tomorrow's parties, 317 points. And Danny Boy, what an impressive performance in third, 214. This has really been a very, very impressive performance by him, especially considering who the teammate is.
Yeah, not only that, but his teammate couldn't take it and is leaving.
Yes, very unbelievable. And did you see three-time world champion trying to kiss Niki Lauda during the race?
Well, he was trying to bring back that warm relationship they used to have long, long, long time ago. But you know what? Nelson Piquet is a little bit of a weirdo.
Well, he asked Lewis about his girlfriend. That was classic.
I know. I'm going, we just had a Grand Prix, maybe a pertinent question about the race.
Yes.
Even Lewis Hamilton, I think he wanted to just leave the stage because it was awkward.
Well, that's Nelson Piquet for you.
Yeah? I wonder what Nelson Piquet's wife said after that.
Which one?
The one that sleeps under the bus stop.
Okay. Yeah, you know, he has like five or six kids from three different women.
What's your point?
I'm just giving some information.
That's more numbers, right?
There you go. And I'm going to tell you something about him. Niki Lauda wrote about his book in one of his books about Nelson Piquet, that how Nelson lived on a boat in Monte Carlo Harbor, had a great time, all sorts of chicas there. But he said, you know, he was always talking about his family back in Brazil and always sending money to his mama. So, you know, Piquet is not all that bad, I guess.
If you're sending money to your mama, you're just a good boy.
Yeah, yeah. PK said, you know, Dr. Miguel and I ran into Charlie Whiting at the Jerez airport. Man, he spoke very, very highly of PK because PK drove for Brabham and Charlie Whiting was there. So it's always, nobody's perfect, let's put it this way.
Yeah, it's funny how all those folk that drove at Brabham and worked at Brabham did pretty well. You know, Bernie helps his friends, don't they?
Bernie is very good to people who are loyal to him.
Exactly. Very, very so.
And
absolutely.
Apart from Clay Regazzoni, who said that Bernie was trying to have him join Brabham and then, you know, offered him a few million dollars. And then when Ferrari dropped Clay Regazzoni, Bernie called him back and he says, I can only pay you half of what I offered, because, you know, he was out of a seat at Ferrari. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, you know, I've never, ever heard anybody say something about Bernie that he, you know, tricked them or was less than, you know, straightforward in dealings, because this guy deals with, you know, kings and Putins of the world, and his deals come through. If you keep your end of the bargain, you know, you will be rewarded with a Formula One race. But you cannot do these punkish things, you know, sign a big contract, take money from Bernie, and then tell him I don't have the money to build the track, which has happened a few times, you know.
I'm going to start saying, Bernie, I love you every day.
Oh, wow. I don't think you should say that, because you know what the latest I heard today? Mm. I mean, this is amazing, that Bernie is going to get very strict on media passes for the online, you know, F1 websites, like the Century passes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I heard about that, yeah.
Huh. Okay, talking of numbers, since we are coming to the end of the season, shall we take a look at the qualifying comparison between teammates?
Yes, I want to talk about the qualifying comparisons between teammates because these are young teammates. And what I found interesting, and I'm back to Bernie real quickly, my apologies, is that how he thinks the young new viewers of F1 are not needed and are stinko.
Well, you know, I hear his point. What he's basically saying, a guy who comes in and spend $10,000 on a weekend in Formula One is worth a lot more than 20,000 people showing up and spending $50.
I mean, I totally agree with him. He's talking about the Rolex buying, champagne drinking, caviar slurping, Paddock Club buying people.
Yeah. And let me tell you about these people, okay? I was at the Malaysian Grand Prix where I had, you know, GP2 credentials, so I could at least be on the fringes of the F1 paddock, and it's so hot and humid there. So to get to the GP2 area, you have to go through this main Formula One, you know, entrance there, and all these nice Malaysian ladies, well-dressed, and, you know, security people there. And as I'm walking, I think it was a Rolls Royce or some fancy car pulls up, and some guy looking kind of like Lord Hesketh and a lady and young guy, they're walking in and with me, side by side. And then what this guy was trying to do is get his young guy who was with him. He didn't have any credential, and he was trying to talk out of, you know, hey, this guy is with me, let him go, and they would not let him go. A lot of these people really are there for the event. They are not interested in motor racing, but that's where the money is, and that's where Bernie is, and that's where, I guess, life is. But, you know, I think it's a real slap for the average fan, and I'm going to tell you why. Whether it's Formula One, NFL, or any other major sport, soccer, football, whatever, it's the average fan's dedication, passion, saving for a year to come to an event against all odds that makes these sports big, famous, and then they get pissed on like this. That's not good.
All those people waiting for that French Grand Prix, the urine just keeps coming.
Yeah. Like, you know, when I was at the Canadian Grand Prix in 2004, there was a very old gentleman sitting next to me, did not speak any English, but I was able to figure out he was here from Buenos Aires. I mean, just imagine coming to a race from Argentina or going from the U.S. to China for a race. That's some serious, you know, dedication to motorsports.
I agree. And I'm really glad I brought this up. So now let's talk about that qualifying comparison between the drivers.
Yes, and it was just one more round to go. This gives a pretty good idea what has happened this season. We'll start with the outgoing world champion Sebastian Vettel and Ricardo. The score is 7-11. The Aussie mate gets the flurkey for out-qualifying the extremely talented Mr. Vettel. Interestingly, the score is the same, 11-7 between Rosberg and Hamilton. LCH may be sliding down the pole, but he may have the last waltz on Sunday if his Mercedes holds up. We shall see in the Arabian Nights. Raikkonen 2, Alonso 16. This reminds me of George Michael's song, Wake Me Up Before You Go, Go. And I gather one of your favorites.
It is one of my favorites.
Fantastic. Grosjean 14, Maldonado 4. Less said, the better. But the interesting thing is, you know, the money that Maldonado brings will keep him, and hopefully also Grosjean at Lotus, which I guess Grosjean has already confirmed. So that will be interesting.
Well, what's interesting about Maldonado and this money, I think it's actually paying off, because season after season, as he writes the checks, or as the oil company writes the checks, he's actually crashing less and less. So he is, in fact, learning and getting better.
Well, one thing is for sure, if you put him in that Mercedes, he might take out Lewis Hamilton in a few races, but he'll win a few races too.
You know, and this is what I really want to do in the future. You know how they do the reverse grid?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think we should not only do reverse grid, but the drivers have to switch cars, you know, from the worst to the best. So Kamui Kobayashi gets Lewis Hamilton's car. Wouldn't that be exciting?
You know, the way Formula One is going these days, all show, all, you know, whatever, I will not be surprised. And this is something I might not be against. If they do two races in a weekend of, let's say, 45 minutes each, sprint races, and then reverse the grid, the whole grid, from race one to race two, as they used to do in Formula Two in the old days, in the 60s and 70s, that might not be a bad idea.
I agree. No, we should try it.
Yeah, I mean, they tried, you know, Mickey Mouse double points, lasted 1 year. And let's see how long this stupid engine noise lasts. This is really bothering me.
Well, it's going to last for another year for sure.
Yeah. Okay, moving to McLaren, Magnussen 9, Jenson Button 9. Who would like to be, my question is, question of the evening, who would like to be McLaren's Massa with Nando as numero uno?
Ooh. You know, a lot of people would. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah, Fisico, Trulli, Kovalainen.
Exactly. What about the texting genius?
Oh, yes.
Pedro de la Rosa.
Yeah. And I think Lewis Hamilton would like to be his teammate again.
You think so?
I think so, too.
I think they're friends now.
Well, I think they always have been, because even in 2007, Nando said his problem was never with Lewis. I got to tell you something, man. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard Nando say. He has even made a comment that Sebastian Vettel is not as good as Lewis Hamilton.
And Lewis Hamilton has said is Fernando's the best driver on the lot.
Yeah, and he's not the only one saying that.
Of course not.
Yeah. Okay, Sergio Perez 6, Nico Hülkenberg 12. Both are blessed by the good Lord, in this case, Vijay Mallya, and both of them are staying there. I feel bad for Hülkenberg. You know, this guy should have been given a good ride, and because I think he's very talented. It's one of those things, you know, he was not in the right place at the right time.
That's just the way it is, you know. Don't worry. He could call Hans-Harald Frentzen if he wants.
That is very true. Okay, Gutierrez 9, Sutil 9. After Abu Dhabi, their F1 careers may melt like Swiss fondue. I think it'll be very hard for Esteban Gutierrez to get a ride in Formula 1. Not many seats available right now.
You know, if he could bring sponsorship, I think he could get a ride in America.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know what I was thinking the other day? Carlos Sim owns Telmex and all that kind of stuff. And maybe, you know what I was thinking? They could buy Borussia or Caterham. And in Mexico, there are some very big corporations. You know, Mexico is a very large oil-producing country. And their oil company, Pemex, used to sponsor Hector Rebach, who was also from Mexico in Formula One in the Brabham days. And they also have a company called Cemex, which is one of the largest cement makers in the world, and they own a lot of operations here in the U.S. So they can get, you know, some sort of a Mexican consortium. I don't want to use the word cartel here, but put together a good Mexican, and they can have, you know, like Joe Ramirez as team manager or consultant, so he'll put them in the right direction.
And you know what? I know a band that could sponsor a team like that.
Which one?
The Flying Burrito Brothers.
The Flying Burrito Hombres, you mean?
Exactly. The perfect slogan.
Yeah, and then every time they win a race, they can play, I'm on a Mexican radio.
Radio. Yeah.
Okay.
I think this podcast is going down the drain really fast.
It's going off track. The podcast has become Pastor Maldonado.
Exactly. Crashado, crashado, crashado.
Okay. Jean-Eric won 7, Kvyat 11. Jeff may have been out-qualified by the Russian rookie, but points tally is 22-8 in favor of the Francais. And I have a very strong feeling that Jean-Eric won will stay at the Toro Rosso. Otherwise, they're going to have Kvyat. And Verstappen and Carlos Sainz. I have a feeling, Park Rogers, that if there are two rookies, I have a feeling that Max Verstappen will slaughter his teammate.
We'll see, but
the rookie teammate Jean-Eric Vaughan has a lot. He's very quick, and I like this guy. I think he's a very good driver. Plus, he has quite a bit of experience now. As you can see by the points, 22-8 in over Kvyat. But we shall see how it works out.
Well, you know, I mean, as long as they continue to say that Max Verstappen is God's gift to motorsports, he's the new Senna, his gift is so big and huge. I can't wait to see this happen. We'll see what happens when the race starts. That's all I've got to say.
Well, you know, Lewis Hamilton was on the podium in his first race. Kevin Magnussen was on the podium in his first race. This kid driving a Toro Rosso is not going to be on the podium. But I will not be surprised if he surprises a lot of people.
Where did Sebastian Vettel get his first win?
There you go. Monza.
Bravo, Fisico.
What a performance that was, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was one of those things when you watch and you still cannot believe it. Like, Donington 1993. I remember, you know, Clark, watching that race with a couple of my buddies, 5 in the morning, and as the first lap of that Donington Grand Prix was coming to an end, all three of us were looking at each other. Nobody was saying a word. It was such an unbelievable performance.
Oh, yeah. Hang on just a minute. I got to send Heikki Kovalainen a text. I'm done.
Okay. So that text was as short as his F1 career.
Exactly.
Okay. I like Heikki. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Good guys finish last. Yeah, look at me.
And he's finished on top of that.
Exactly.
Okay. Massa 6, Bottas 12. Bottas is a future star, just like Kimi at Sauber in 2001. And a very, very nice person, too, I have to say. Now, finally, Chilton 3, Jules Bianchi 12, and poor Jules Bianchi. And we all hope for a miracle. And finally, at the in-crowd people, Ericsson 4, Kobayashi-san 12. So there you have it, the qualifying situation so far this season.
Not too bad. Could be worse. It was all fairly predictable. I mean, I think Kvyat was a big surprise. Magnussen started out as a big surprise, but then mellowed out just like a good wine. For me, Maldonado not crashing as much as he used to is a big surprise. For me, the other big surprise is how Lotus F1 dropped like a Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, for me, the big surprise was Daniel Ricciardo.
No, that was, well, I mean, let's, Red Bull chose Daniel Ricciardo because they knew he was going to be so good. I didn't expect him to actually beat Vettel this badly.
And in their first season together.
Exactly. In other words, bye-bye Vettel, Ricciardo is now numero uno.
Well, you know,
and this is how you become number one, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the McLaren 88 situation, right? Mm-hmm. Senna was very competitive, and so was Alain Prost, but he made his life miserable, so Prost left. And this is what happens. You know, you got to rattle the cage of the other guy.
I understand. Hang on just a second. I'm going to text Bruno Senna real fast. All right, I'm done.
Again, that was as quick as his Formula One career.
Very much so.
And again, Bruno Senna, unbelievably nice, humble person.
And that's the problem with these guys.
Maybe that's what the problem is. They're too nice.
Yeah. Was Nelson Piquet nice? No. Was KK Rosberg nice? Not even.
You know, this interesting thing how polished and pedigree of a kid KK Rosberg is. I was talking to a Formula One journalist who goes to quite a few races. And she said, I asked her, you know, who was easy to deal with and who is not so easy. Shockingly, she said to me that her favorite driver is Kimi Raikkonen, always obliges when she asks for an autograph for a friend or something. And she said, you know, the person I cannot stand is Nico Rosberg. And I just could not believe it. I said, you know, the guy comes across when you see him on TV or this and that, very well educated, very polished. And she says, no, he's just arrogant as far as I'm concerned. So, different strokes for different folks.
That's true, but her feelings were just hurt. This is a completely different situation.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, shall we take a quick break?
Yeah, we could take a quick break and come back with some interesting information.
Yes, sir.
So we'll be back after this brief message.
Attention Formula One fans, how would you like to have access to an all-inclusive USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One memento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.f1fanadvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.f1fanadvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Danke schön, sir. We shall start with a trip to Hinwil in Switzerland. And very pleased to say Cousin will be driving for Sauber. Sauber surprised many people by announcing that both Gutierrez and Sutil have been given the famous message, your services are no longer required. Even bigger surprise was the signing of Felipe Nasr as one of the drivers for 2015. With strong financial backing from Petrobras, the big Brazilian oil company at Williams, I was under the impression sooner or later one Felipe will be replaced by another Felipe. But thanks to Banco do Brasil, Cousin will be making his F1 debut in Albert Park in 2015. You know, there was a chance that he could have made his Grand Prix debut in 2014. And I remember telling him, I think it was at Spa or Monza, that if you are in Albert Park in 2014, moi will show up in Melbourne. But I'm very happy for him, and I hope things work out for him. Felipe was very impressive in his first three seasons in Europe, winning the Formula BMW Championship in 2009. And in 2011, he won the British Championship over teammate Kevin Magnussen. Felipe dominated the first half. Kevin came on strong in the second half, and both had seven wins apiece, but Cousin got the title. Last year, Felipe was fourth in Rapidos, or GP Deutsch, as they call it in Brazil, and this year he is currently second with four wins. Abu Dhabi will be the final event for GP2 series also. Julian Palmer has already clinched the championship in his fourth year, hence no call from Ron Dennis or Maranello. What do you think about these guys racing in GP2 for 3-4 years? Do you think it's worth it?
Only if you have a lot of money, like Pastor Maldonado. Because really today, if you don't win it as a rookie or extend it one more year and your second year, win the championship outright, you're done. The phone is off the hook. Nobody's calling.
Oh, yeah, look at this kid from Switzerland, Fabio Leimer, who won a couple of years ago. A pretty quick driver, but, you know, if you're going to win in the fourth year, nobody's calling. Okay, now we go to Sutil, who not only broke the glass, but also clause in his contract. According to Miss Monisha Carlton-Bone, Adrian is in breach of his contract as he was supposed to bring Deutschmarks or dollars to the team, but this did not happen. Sutil should be aware of this. Miss Carlton-Bone is a lawyer by profession, and how she got to Sauber was she was legal advisor to Peter Sauber's early sponsor, a company called the Kaiser Group from Switzerland. So she knows a thing or two about contracts.
Let me check. Yeah, and you don't want to mess with the Kaiser.
No, never. Especially if they are German-speaking Kaisers. Caterham, they are with the in crowd by hook or by crook. They are at the season finale. And Kamui Kobayashi is one of the drivers. The second seat is up for grab, maybe filled by Khalil Gibran or Roberto Meri or even Desiree. Whoever can come up with $5, $6 million will make the Grand Prix debut in Abu Dhabi. This Spanish kid, Roberto Meri, who has been racing in Formula 3 for a few years, he is claiming he has a contract with Caterham. And what piece of history to have in your possession if you have a signed contract with Caterham. Wouldn't you love to have that, Mr. Rogers?
It's exciting. And I really hope that when Caterham shows up in Abu Dhabi and they get a close-up view of the dashboard of the Caterham, if you look to the right, you'll notice that now there's a quarter slot. So you have to keep putting quarters in the car to keep it going.
Oh, like a vending machine?
Exactly. That's their answer.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. And do the price go up if the car has completed the first half of the race?
Well, actually, if you start passing cars, the price goes down. Why? So, and if you're in the lead, it starts paying you back quarters.
Oh, well, it's like the Discover card.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's. I hope some serious people buy these teams out and put together a nice program. Because we don't want to see people get losing jobs and racing teams disappearing. I was thinking this evening, you know, before the podcast recording, about Arrows, how long they were there and, you know, never won a race.
But they almost won a race.
Damon Hill in Hungary. What a heartbreaker that was.
Boy,
Man, to see that car pass Michael Schumacher with the Yamaha engine pass Michael Schumacher's Ferrari, that was something.
That was almost as good as Takuma Sato passing Fernando Alonso.
Oh, man, in Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, that was classic. I mean, the crowd went wild.
Yeah, the crowd did go wild.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, now we come to Macau. Sweet success for Rosenquist. Felix Rosenquist won the famous Macau F3 Grand Prix last Sunday. Gerhard Berger's nephew, Lucas Auer, was second. Max Verstappen started way back in the field and finished seventh. Rosenquist also won the qualifying race on Saturday. And earlier in the season, he also won the very historic and a place I really, really want to go, Po, in the south of Francia.
Yep, two quality Grand Prix that we both need to go to, Nasser.
Yes, and I remember one day you telling me that Mrs. Lincoln...
Correct.
When after she became a widow, spent some time in Po.
Exactly. She was actually having visions of Grand Prix in Po way before we were even talking about it.
Wow.
Amazing woman.
Yeah, very true. And by the way, you know, talking of Macau Grand Prix, what happened? I was trying to catch the race. I'm getting a little bit older to stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning. But on Saturday, I was able to catch just the very end of the Grand Prix, the qualifying race, which I said was also won by Felix Rosenquist. But while I was searching for this, I came across a video on YouTube on the history of Macau, which I think is like 45, 50 minute long. It's very well documented, a lot of footage from the 50s and 60s, and very, very nice. Just to see these young guys, these names when they were in their early 20s, Ralf Schumacher, Michael Schumacher, Mika Hakkinen, and Ayrton Senna, Gerhard Berger, Ricardo Patrese, David Coulthard, and there are a lot of interviews with these people, and it's just fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, yeah. Talking of Macau, you know, Ayrton Senna won the very first F3 version of the race. And if I remember correctly, the story is something like this. This is how Gerhard Berger and Ayrton Senna became friends. Gerhard, if I remember correctly, Senna, of course, won the race, but I think Gerhard Berger set the fastest lap. And by mistake, the winner's trophy was given to Gerhard Berger and the fastest lap to Ayrton Senna. After the race, Senna asked him to give him the actual trophy, and Gerhard Berger refused.
And really?
Yeah, and apparently he still has it. This was in an interview with Gerhard Berger some years ago. So it's interesting how, you know, wonderful world we live in, how things start.
Yeah. I could have swore Ron Dennis stole that.
Yeah. And, you know, Macau is one of the races I really, really want to go. So is the Grand Prix of Po. Very, very interested. Actually, you know, my friend Peter Nygaard from Denmark, who supplies photos for the calendar, he was telling me that he wants to go to Casablanca to get some pictures from local sources on the 1958 Moroccan Grand Prix. And I told him, you know, a place I want to go very much too. And in the old days, you know, 20s and 30s, there was a fabulous track called Milaha Lake Racetrack Tripoli. And if you ever watch on YouTube, it was like the Paul Ricard circuit of the 1930s. Also, there's a town called Carthage in Tunisia, they're in a town called Oran in Algeria where French people built racing tracks. And some of them are still there, or at least part of it. And I'm very, very interested in making a run while I'm able to move around, if you know what I mean, Mr. Rogers.
Absolutely. And I have it on good sources that the trip and pilgrimage to Tripoli is very inexpensive.
Yes. Just stay away from Benghazi.
Exactly. You know, that's, And you got to wear some flak jackets or something, but it's a great trip.
Yeah. So, if you ever go to YouTube and check out these old races from 1930s, it's a fascinating world, you know, how the cars were there. And actually, you know, one of the trophies from the Tripoli Grand Prix, which I believe was won by Rudolf Caracciola, it's on display at the Indy Museum.
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Nasser, and thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. I always recommend the Hall of Fame at the Speedway in beautiful Indianapolis. No, outstanding stuff. They've got some great pre-war, wartime, and post-war memorabilia. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and talk about 50 words on the Brazilian Grand Prix from the folks at the F1 Weekly Forum. Kay Sin says, Hamilton and Rosberg first and second. Nothing new there, but wait. They weren't in that order. Hamilton rues his little excursion and ponders on what might have been. Meanwhile, Massa Jr. gets more TV time than his papa. Neon Zapper, Brazil added another thrilling Grand Prix to this season. Despite some mistakes, Felipe held on to a well-deserved podium victory in front of his home crowd. Jens had an impressive race, and again the Silver Arrows flipped the podium order. I don't want this season to end. And Louis says, the great championship battle between the two Mercedes drivers was again clean and sharp, and this time Rosberg was on top. Much deserved, because he had command of practice, qualifying, and race, being fast and driving clean in the last sector. He always had a gap when entering the curved finish straight, but it was close and Lewis was pushing all the time. Such a joy to watch his title fight going to the wire. There you have it from the F1Weekly.com forum. Nasser, let's talk about Abu Dhabi real quickly.
Well, you know, most people think, and I agree, this is Hamilton's championship. The only thing that can screw him up is a mechanical issue. And I don't think this is a track where he will make a mistake. It's more like a street circuit, and he is quite a hustler on these places. Nico getting pole, winning the race will not surprise me. I expect that, and Lewis second in the race. Let's see what happens. You know, many, many things can go wrong, you know. I mean, you can have a screw-up in the pit. Pastor can go back to his old ways. Who knows who will play Petrov this year in Abu Dhabi. But I would like to see a clean race between these two drivers. And may the best man win the race, and may the best man win the championship.
I agree. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be fun. And I predict Kamui Kobayashi in the top 10.
And Nando?
Nando? Well, Nando will be probably on the podium.
Yeah, will not surprise me.
Is that all there is, my friend? So, no, the last race. Boy, this season went by fast, didn't it, Nasser?
It does every year, Clark.
It does every year. Wish we could slow it down just a little teeny bit.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking of going to Europa, England, UK in April because, you know, this homie kid, UK-based homie kid, Inam Ahmed, he hopefully will be racing single-seaters next year, so I would like to be at some of his races. We'll see how it works out. But I really, really enjoyed Jerez with Dr. Miguel. And if it was not for short vacation time I have available right now, I would have gone to Jerez again. It's a fantastic place, and we had a great time. We must do this one more time.
Absolutely. 2015 is going to be exciting, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've got another Grand Prix. It's going to be exciting, and anything could happen. We might even get rain in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, then in 2010, when I was there, it rained a little bit.
See?
Just for a brief, small, you know, minute or two, not much.
I understand, but it can happen.
You never know, Clark. That could be a serious dirt storm also.
I know. So, no, this is going to be interesting. I just can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. It's this weekend. We'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean, the DNF Chapel is very, very busy right now, Nasser.
Yes.
So, there you have it. I want to thank all the listeners. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.